And he spake a parable unto them. This is the 18th chapter of Luke where I'm reading, beginning with the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I read the first 8 verses of the 18th chapter of Luke. Now there is a rather interesting thing that occurs to me in regard to this little lesson. We read this many times, we hear it preached many times. I've preached on it different times myself. But there's an interesting little something about this that just occurred to me this evening. And that is that in this idea of men always praying, and we know that we ought to always pray. We don't have to be told that. Someone says that prayer is the breath of the soul. And we know what happens to the body when the body ceases to breathe. Death occurs. And when the soul ceases to breathe, death occurs there too. Spiritual death. So we don't need to be told that we need to always pray. But the point that it seems to me that Jesus is driving at in this parable, this little lesson here, is not just general praying, but specific praying. And praying about a particular thing. We always pray, sure. But he's teaching us to not give up on praying about a specific thing that's burdening our hearts and our minds. But just keep persevering in that particular thing. I teach people that we should be specific in our praying, and especially in our praying for ourselves. It's all right for us to pray for someone else. Lord, bless this person in every way they need. Because I don't know every way they need. But when it comes to praying for myself, then I need to be specific. I need this. I need this. I want help here. I'm weak at this point. And just name out things and be specific in my praying for myself. It will not gain the required objective if I just pray in regard to myself, now Lord, just bless me in every way I need. But I know the things I need. I may not know the things you need. But I can pray for me, bless me here and help me here and help me in this. That's where I need help. We aren't going to get much help from God anyway until we acknowledge our need, are we? And I need to tell God what I need, what I'm conscious of that I need, and where I'm falling short, and in whatever respect I've failed, name it out to Him. And seek Him for help at this point, and this point, and this point. Now He brings the lesson here. He also teaches us in Luke. Well, this is Luke, but another place in Luke. The lesson of importunity. And I believe that I can tell you in certainty that that is where we're going to gain our outstanding victories, is in our importunities before the Lord. Not just pray about one thing and then pray about something else and then pray about something else, but on a particular objective, importune in that matter. Men ought to always pray. And I thought this evening that maybe a better translation or way to put it would be that men ought to continue to pray. Just keep praying, continue to pray about the particular thing that is uppermost in your mind and the greatest need that you're conscious of. Keep pressing for that. Men ought to always pray or continue to pray and not faint. Many times, we pray a time or two about something and it doesn't come to pass and we faint. Instead of pressing our case and continuing before God, we begin to look around for strings that we can pull. The things we can do to help ourselves out here. Take things in our own hands. We've already fainted when we take things in our own hands. We've turned loose of God. But men ought to continue to pray about the victory they're conscious that they need. Now the lesson that He gives us here in the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 8, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now notice that Jesus uses some very strong illustrations. Kind of out of this world situations. Things we wouldn't think about doing. We wouldn't think about going to somebody at midnight wanting to borrow some bread from them, would we? Wouldn't that be kind of out there outside of our thinking? Jesus used far out lessons and parables to convey emphasis and to get the point over to us. Now, as far as God's concerned, midnight's as good as any time with him. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You're not going to disturb God out of any rest, whatever hour you go to him. But in a natural case, this would be a kind of a far out situation. But he says, this man that told him his children were in bed with him, he disturbed them, the door was closed, he couldn't give him any help. But he just keeps standing out there knocking and saying, I need something. He said, after a while, the man will get up and give him as much as he needs because of his importunity. Importunity is something we need to learn. But importunity is involved not in general praying, but in specific praying, concentrated praying, praying about a particular objective that we have in mind, some particular desire or some particular victory that we stand in need of, some special help in our own lives that we are convicted of, that is important to us. And we keep pressing on that particular line. Now, God's Word teaches us to pray about everything. Teaches us to pray about everybody. Teaches us to pray without ceasing. It teaches us to always pray. And in this particular lesson, to continue to pray. Now he says you ought to continue to pray and not faint. The victory hasn't come yet. You haven't gained your objective yet. But don't faint. Just continue to pray. And it's all right to just say the same things over and over. I've prayed about cases, and you have too. Everybody else has that prays. I've prayed about cases that were stubborn and they held on. And the victory was withheld and it was out there somewhere. And after a while I've come to God and I say, I don't know anything more to say to you. I've said everything I know to say about this case and just start in going over it again. Well, it'll break after a while. If you just keep pressing, it'll break after a while. I'm told that you can take a pretty large stone and just keep pecking at it in a line or in a certain spot. It'll fall apart after a while. And these things will break open after a while if we just keep pounding at them and working at them. They will come apart after a while. Things will begin to happen and victory will begin to come. Now in this case, he uses the case of a widow woman and an unjust judge. And that's a poor combination, folks. A widow woman and an unjust judge. And someone had taken advantage of the widow woman, and she came to this judge to avenge her of her adversary. And he didn't pay any attention to her. He didn't give her any answer. But she just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Now we would assume that this judge, being an unjust judge, he wasn't qualified to be a judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Human rights meant nothing to him. So he really wasn't qualified to be a judge. But he was a judge nevertheless. And this was the judge that this woman had to go to present her case. Pretty discouraging situation. He's unjust. He doesn't regard human rights. He doesn't fear God to regard man. And there's just a poor, helpless, needy widow woman. Pretty discouraging aspect. But we would assume that this judge being unjust, that he would be subject to a bribe. Whoever would give him the most money, he'd turn the favors that way. Granted a decision that way. And that gave all the advantage to this widow woman's adversary, because he had taken away what the widow woman had. And she didn't have any money to give to the judge, and he had it all. So it looked like a pretty hopeless case. Jesus, in many of his parables, used pretty hopeless things. Things that we wouldn't consider. This was one of them. But this woman had another tactic. She just camped on that judge's doorstep, so to speak. And every time he come to his office in the morning, there was that woman right at the door just waiting for him. When he started to leave in the evening, there was that woman right at the door waiting to see him. Maybe she followed him home. Maybe she camped on his doorstep. Figuratively speaking, she did anyway. She was always there. Everywhere he turned, there's that woman. So finally he said, "This woman's just worrying me now." So in order to get rid of the worry that she is to me, I'm going to avenge her of her adversary. She had a tactic that worked, and that was persistence. Importunity. She just kept coming and kept coming Many fail at this point. Many will pray time or two about some matter, then take it in their own hands. Maybe an injustice has been done to us, and we enter into strife with our adversary, seeking advantage and seeking to hold our point. We enter into strife. When we do this, we block God out. If I take things in my own hands and I start pulling strings here and pulling strings there, and entering into strife and fighting my own case, defending my own self, if I'm going to fight my case, God will just let me fight it. He'll just stand off to one side and just watch me fight it. He'll just stand on the sideline. He won't get involved in that kind of a thing. I teach the people that in order to get God in on any kind of a situation, somebody has to get right. Somebody has to quit the fight, throw down their arms, and turn the matter over to God. Then he'll get in on that side. And he'll help out there. But as long as I'm fighting, he's not going to get in there and fight with me. That would make him a party to my strife. He won't participate in that. He'll just stand off on the sidelines and just let me slug it out with my adversary. And let the best man win. But if I'll just quit the fight and throw down my arms and turn my case over to God, he'll get in on my side. And he'll help me out then. What we need to learn to do is let the battle be the Lord's. Turn our battles over to him. Just continue to pray and wait patiently upon him, and he will avenge in his time, in the time and in the way that he'll be the most glorified. God is after getting glory out of your life and mine. He'll get all the glory out of our lives that he can. And he knows how to work and when to work in a way that will bring him the greatest glory. And when he gets the greatest glory, there's going to be a backup from that on us, and we'll receive the greatest blessing. God just pouring out his blessing upon us because we glorified him. Now, in the 11th chapter of Luke, I read that a while ago, verses 9 and 10. Ask, ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone who knocketh, it shall be opened unto them. And everyone that seeketh shall find. Now that's a grand, broad promise, isn't it? Oh, somebody says, that's what I want, just be able to get whatever I want. Just ask and receive, that's simple. That's easy. Just get what I want. Well, it is a grand, broad promise, but there's some strings attached to it. And there are some things in connection with it. We had it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Williamson brought out how important it was that we study to show ourselves approved unto God a workman that leadeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now we can take this text just like it stands and separate it from everything else, and it sets up a pretty good deal for us. Just ask and receive. That's just that simple. Seek and find. Knock and have it opened. All very simple. Very easy. But when you begin bringing in other parts of God's Word in connection with this, and they are in connection with this, then we begin to discover that there are some strings attached to this. It isn't just all that simple. For instance, in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 33, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." If I'm not really seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I have no promise of these other things being added to me. God isn't obligated to me if I'm not meeting the terms and conditions of his word. In the 4th chapter of James, verse 3, he says, "Ye ask and receive not." Well, this text says, "Everyone who asketh receiveth." But James said, "Ye ask and receive not." Well, why didn't they receive? Here's another string attached to this. "Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts," or your own personal desires or pleasures. God is not inclined to answer selfish prayers. And if we are praying for a selfish purpose, have a selfish aim, we can't expect God to hear and answer that prayer. Naturally, if we have a thorn in the flesh, we're going to want to get it out. And Paul sought the Lord 3 times for that. He had one. And he sought the Lord 3 times for that. And the Lord, all the answer the Lord gave him was, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul understood then that God wanted him to have that. That was a necessary part of his successful Christian living, that thorn in the flesh. We might wonder how a thorn in the flesh would be a necessary part of our living, but it was in that case, and Paul was made to understand why he had that. He had that lest he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations given to him. God made him to understand that. And that, if that happened to him, see, he did get in that state, it'd throw him clear off course, and he'd miss out on the grandest thing that he had going for him. So he just submitted himself and said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To have the power of Christ resting upon him was the paramount thing in his mind. And therefore, he was willing to endure this thorn in the flesh that might develop and happen in his life. I remember Brother Trimble. He was a kind of a crippled man. his ankle bones had no stability. They just kind of revolved. And he couldn't stand very long without leaning against something, because his ankles would give way and just he would fall. He could walk. He couldn't walk like other men walk, but he could walk. But when he stopped walking, he had to lean up against something. Well, he said in his younger days, he was a very proud young man. And he said he, as he walked down the street and watched himself walk, he was just proud of his walk. So when this happened to him, he began to pray that the Lord would heal those ankles. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and finally the Lord just spoke to him, and all he said to him was just, "Leave me." He understood that. He understood that is the way the Lord wanted him, and he reflected back how proud he'd been of his walk and all. And so he said, "I just laid it down. I never asked the Lord another time after that to heal my ankles. I understood why I had that and why the Lord wanted me to have that. And I just let it be." And Brother Trimble was a man like that and enjoyed many victories and blessings from the Lord because he was like that. And he just let the Lord have his way with him. In Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 26, Jesus is teaching them about faith. And faith is a grain of mustard seed. What that would accomplish. And he said, "Wherefore, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Well, now that's just another great, broad promise. Whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But the very next thing hangs something on it that many people fail right at that point. He says, "But when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you." Many fail right at this point. We pray and we pray and we pray, but we won't forgive. And sometimes we just feel like we don't have to forgive. I've had people tell me, "Well, surely God wouldn't expect me to forgive anybody that treated me like this or that. Whatever they had done, surely God wouldn't expect me to forgive that." But he said, if you want to get your prayers through, if you want to gain your point, gain your victory, and pursue your course, gain your objective, just forgive, drop things. Well, but they didn't ask me. If they asked me, I'd forgive them. I doubt it. Now, I just sincerely doubt that. If you wouldn't forgive them before they ask you, it isn't altogether that likely that you'd forgive them after they ask you. A forgiving heart is what is necessary, and a forgiving heart's forgiving all the time. Just continually forgiving. And he said, when ye stand praying, we're praying now. And it isn't very likely that that fellow that is my adversary, I've got a quarrel with, it isn't very likely he's going to be out there when I'm out there praying. He says, when you stand praying, let it be your private devotions out there. A time when you're spending some time with the Lord. And apparently no one's there. Just you and the Lord. But he said, when ye stand praying, and that fellow isn't there to ask you, forgive him, but he said, forgive him. Then your prayer will go through. God will hear and answer your prayer when you forgive him. Then he failed right there. Then he said in James, the first chapter, verses 6 and 7, he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, unstable. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. A person that's wavering, a person that's maybe he will and then maybe he won't. And I believe and now I doubt. He said, don't let that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And in the text that we just considered, Jesus said, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive, and ye shall have it. And my conviction is that right at the time you're praying is a good time for you to believe right then. For your faith to take hold. When ye pray, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe. It isn't a matter of believing some other time, but when you're praying, believe. And that'll make the connection. That'll bring the results. Many people don't get what they pray for because their faith doesn't act that way. Many people don't get what they pray for because they fail to forgive like they should and have the right attitude toward their brethren and their fellow men that they should have. All these strings are attached here. They all come in and connect into this little verse here, this broad, grand promise in the 11th chapter of Luke, verses 9 and 10. They all just tie right in here and become a part of this. In the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, here is a number of verses here. 7 verses given to conditions that need to prevail in a proper husband and wife relationship. And tells how the wife should be in subjection to her husband and obey him and so on. tells how the husband should dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor to her as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then the bombshell drops. It says that your prayers be not hindered. Now, folks, I don't know how conscious you are of this, but I'm very conscious of it, that many prayers are not answered and many people don't gain their objectives and gain the victories that they want because their husband and wife relationship isn't what it should be. And because the family connections aren't what they should be. God gives a lot of instruction in His Word about husbands and wives, and about parents and children, and about home life in general. There are many instructions given in His Word, and if those things aren't put together right along and tie right in with this text that we're considering, He said, your prayers are going to be hindered. A husband that lords it over his wife, he's going to hinder his prayers. A wife that will not honor her husband and subject herself to him, going to hinder her prayers. Parents that don't act the proper part of parents and fulfill responsibilities, and children that don't act the proper part of children and fulfill their duties and follow their instructions, it's all just summing up to a hindrance to prayer and us getting our victories and gaining our objectives and glorifying God. Now, we can just single this one text out here and just think we've got a good thing going for us. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone who knocks is open to them. Everyone who seeks finds. We just got a great grand thing going for us. But all the instructions of God's Word in living our Christian lives and maintaining our attitudes as they should be toward our brethren and toward our fellow men and husbands and wives and everything, all just ties right in here with it, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If we don't rightly divide the Word of truth, then we can claim things that we're not entitled to, and we'll not get them, and we'll begin to question about God's Word, and why isn't it being fulfilled in this, verified to me in this? I just get whatever I ask for. Why don't I? Well, there may be many reasons why we don't. But God's Word is true, and if we fulfill God's Word, then if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it'll be open to us. And we'll be able to gain our victories and glorify God and receive His blessings in our lives. But now, why all this praying? A little concluding thought here. Jesus said in one place in His teaching, He says, your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask Him. Well, now that's just as true as this. But this says just continue to pray. Don't faint, don't give up, don't quit praying, just continue to pray. Keep praying. But why? My Father knows what I have need of before I ask Him. Why all the praying? Well, I'll tell you this before I go any further, that all the praying is not for God's benefit, it's for ours. And it's for bringing us into a relationship with God and with our fellow men and with our brethren in the church and all the way around and with our husbands and our wives and everything. It's for bringing us all around into a proper state of mind and attitude of heart and relationship to where God can be glorified in answering our prayers. It's for us, not for Him. It isn't to convince Him that I need this. He knows I need it before I ask Him. But here's the point. If I'm really sincere about what I'm doing, and God help us to be, if I am really sincere about what I'm doing and conscious of my need, and I pray about this, and it doesn't happen, I'm going to pray some more. And the next time I pray, I'll pray a little more earnestly than I did the first time. If it doesn't happen yet, I'll pray some more. And I'll get more earnest yet. If it still doesn't happen, I'll add some fasting on to my prayers. And I'll fast and pray and seek God for this thing that I need. I'm getting down in dead earnest now. If it still doesn't happen, I'll go to the saints and I'll say, agree with me in prayer. I'm pressing a case for a certain thing, and I want your agreement in prayer. We're digging in. We're seeking to obtain something. While all this is going on, I'm searching out my own self. I begin to wonder why my prayer isn't being answered. Why I'm not gaining my objective and securing my victories. And I begin to search out myself and my attitudes and my feelings and my dispositions toward my brethren and toward my fellow men and toward my wife and toward my children and toward everything. Between me and God, my attitude between me and God, searching out everything, and when the thing clicks, when I find the real thing that I need in my own soul, and the thing clicks, God said that He'll avenge us speedily though He bear long with us. And that doesn't make much sense, does it? Could you think of much sense in that? Avenge us speedily though He bear long with us? Well, the bearing long with us comes while He's bringing us to the proper point and position in our own relationship with Him and getting us right in our attitudes and in our dispositions and getting us to be broken in spirit and humble in heart till we can forgive people and bringing us to a proper disposition toward our spouses and toward our children and our family relationships and our church relationships and everything while He's getting us there. But when He has accomplished that and that clicks, well, it doesn't take Him all day and all night to do what He's going to do. He can just bring about an avenging of our adversaries quickly. Our adversary may just be our circumstances, our conditions, the trial we're encountering may be individuals, but it isn't always individuals. But whatever it is, He'll avenge us speedily. He's able to do things quickly, but it takes Him a long time to get us around sometimes to gain His objective. And the sooner He can gain His objective with us, the sooner we can gain our objective that we're after with Him and in our spiritual lives. Amen.